Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
An Erio's original.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Thanks for tuning in. Man, we've got a super intense tragedy today. The Donner Party. Now, I've been camping twice in my life, and both times I've always thought, how long could I survive in the wilderness before I had to eat my husband and my friends? It's a legit question that some people have had to ask themselves, including the Donner Party. The Donner Party was a group of American pioneers that set out for California in a wagon train. The sweet spot for departure was usually in mid to late April, but for unknown reasons, the Donner Party didn't leave Independence, Missouri until mid-May. They were the last major pioneer train of 1846, and their late start left little room for error. Unfortunately, they were delayed by a series of mishaps, mistakes, and weather-related setbacks, and spent the winter of 1846 to 1847 snowbound in the Sierra Nevada. The part of their story that you probably remember from history class is that at some point, the pioneers ended up resorting to cannibalism in order to survive. Fun facts, aka death stats. There were roughly 87 members of the Donner Party. Only 47 survived. Of the people who got stranded, half were under 18 years old and six were infants. 16 people out of the 87 in the Donner Party were under 4 years old. All of the Donner children were left orphaned. Only two families, the Reeds and the Breens, survived the ordeal intact. No adult over the age of 49 survived. there were 54 males and 33 females, but more women survived than men. Findings from those who survived support the argument that females are better able than males to withstand conditions marked by famine and extreme cold. So today we have one of my dearest friends, Clayton Early, on the show. Clayton, hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you? Also, my dear friend, thank you for saying
yes,
that.
Yes, we're dear, dear, dear. Now, Clayton, when I was thinking about people that I wanted to bring in for the Donner Party, I thought of... Okay, so here's a little backstory, everyone. Clayton and I are in a sketch comedy group together. We've been friends since college. Mm-hmm. We've spent a lot of time traveling together.
This is true.
Yeah, as a sketch group. And, you know, Clayton and I are kind of the parents of the group.
This is very true.
And we when we were touring as a sketch comedy group, there were a lot of logistics that Clayton and I had to deal with. Mm-hmm. And for instance, you know, we'd get everyone in the sketch group to, we had to get 8 people to travel to a college. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a huge undertaking for someone who can barely take care of themselves.
Yes, yes.
So I'm reminded of this time that we were, it was one of our early college shows, and you showed up, you were in charge of all the money, and you were in charge of giving us all stipends.
Yeah.
And
back when we were official.
Yeah. Yeah. And Clayton showed up that morning with 8 envelopes. They all had $40 in each envelope, and every envelope had a people's names on it. So it was like Rebecca Delgado. I think you even made one for yourself.
I mean, everybody else got one. I want one too.
And I just want to say, like, this is why I think you're perfectly, you're perfect for this episode. You don't trust even yourself.
Right.
That you are going to remember to give someone their money. Or you also don't trust that someone might not steal your money. Mm-hmm. You also don't trust that you won't lose the money, right?
Right.
So that kind of like insanity and anxiety that comes with travel is really special.
I feel like something that's coming to my mind related to this is that on one of our first road trips, this is back in the days of MapQuest and there were no Google Maps, we printed out a very detailed, you know, list of directions from MapQuest, and we were driving out of New York City. We were going to South Carolina, I think.
Yes.
And we left New York, crossed the George Washington Bridge, got into New Jersey where there was a maze of highways, and immediately missed our exit. And we were like, well, we don't know where we're going now. We literally don't know what to do because you can't backtrack and there's only this printed thing.
I remember it vividly.
We could have died and eaten each other if it were olden times.
I was in the co-pilot seat.
Yes.
And I didn't know what to do. I wasn't even from New York. I hadn't been outside New York City on a highway. So, you know, travel is intense. Mm-hmm. You know, travel... You know, we have planned many outings and many things together. So I was like, who would never let the kind of thing that happened to the Donner Party, who would never let that happen?
I think what would be what's interesting about us is we tend to line up pretty frequently.
Yeah.
Like we tend to like have the same amount of caution or rationale. What would be interesting, which I think from what I know about like brief history of the Donner Party, is if there's a new dynamic, a new personality with a strong opposing view. And that is where we would be like, what do we do with this person?
If there
now?
Was another Clayton.
Yeah. But like opposite Clayton.
But we'll call him Jeff.
Yeah. God, Jeff. Ugh.
So yeah, so we've planned a lot of stuff and we're definitely type A personalities. Like, in my mind, what happened to the Donners, like, if I was the leader, that would never happen. Mm-hmm. If you were the leader, that would never happen. I mean, I've been to your wedding. Mm-hmm. I know how perfectly curated.
It would have been very planned to a T, and people probably would have hated me or us.
Yeah.
But they would have been thankful when they got there alive and on time.
Yes. And you know, that's one of the most thankless parts of the job. Yeah. Because when you're alive, no one's like, I could have been dead.
Yeah, thank you for keeping me alive. They're just like, you're annoying. I didn't want to do that.
It's like, but if you're about to die, you're like, oh, I hate you for putting me in this death position. So it's a thankless job.
We should start using that more often just in regular life, I guess. Just like, you should do this for me because you won't die then.
Yeah. Or just like whenever you come over and we have a nice night, then I'll be like, thank you for this wonderful night and thank you for us not dying.
Right, right.
Yeah,
go we get took me a glass of water. If you don't, the ceiling might collapse and kill you. So you should leave now to get that water, husband.
Exactly.
You know, that's a conversation between me and Mike.
Okay.
Go get me a glass of water. If you don't, you'll die.
I thought you were calling me your husband, which is fine.
No, I had transitioned to my husband's life.
So, I mean, the Donner Party was crazy. Mm-hmm. We can get started because we have to figure out who's to blame. And there are a lot of people that really fall under that category. Now, something about the... I was trying to explain this to my husband and I was telling him that, Chris, who you know,
mm-hmm.
I was like, you know, all of this wouldn't have happened if it weren't for this guy called Lanford Hastings.
Yeah, he's a bad dude.
Bad, bad, bad guy. Okay, for those who don't know, this... now, I'm going to read you something. This is all according to history.com. This is about Lanford Hastings. Okay. Age 27. For some reason, I wrote that down. It was important
to me. So he's full of himself. He's a young stud who thinks he knows it all. Okay.
Although 27 at that time was like late 30s.
Right.
It feels like late 30s. Anyway, after reaching Wyoming, most California-bound pioneers followed a route that swooped north through Idaho before turning south and moving across Nevada. But in 1846, however, a dishonest guidebook author named Lanford Hastings was promoting a straighter and supposedly quicker path that cut through the mountains and across the Salt Lake Desert. So to promote this shortcut, he sent riders to deliver flyers to the emigrants on the trail. And the Donner Party actually received one of these flyers. There was just one problem. No one had traveled this Hastings cutoff with wagons.
Right.
Not even Hastings himself. So despite the obvious risks, the Donner Party elected to break off from the usual route and gamble on Hastings' back road. Now, let's just talk. I'm going to pause right
there. There's a lot there.
There's a lot there. So, first, let's talk about the Donner Party and how they left in mid-May. Now, usually the pioneers left in mid to late April because, you know, it took a certain amount of time and they had to get to the other side. Before the snow.
Right.
Very logical and great. For some reason, the Donners were a little late.
Mm-hmm.
They maybe couldn't get their act together, packed a few too many things in their wagons. And they didn't start until May,
mm-hmm.
which is already, like, to me, anxiety building. Right?
Depending on what kind of traveler you are, yes.
Yeah.
If you like to get to the airport 2 hours early, that's stressful.
I mean... I'm there three if possible.
Yeah, yeah.
But so they start off on this trek. And I mean, what kind of a person gets a flyer and is told that, you know, there's this shortcut and they're like, okay, let's you know, what the heck?
Mm-hmm.
I guess they were running late anyway, so they thought the shortcut could possibly help them.
Right.
Which is really sick.
Well, I think also what's interesting about it is it's like this is still like uncharted territory. They're like going to the Great West and only so many settlers have done it before them. So it's like, I don't know, maybe different times, but like, why do you trust suddenly this new flyer, this new guy? You're just like, sure, we'll go on this new route that a few people have done. Like, you just trust that blindly?
I mean, I guess you bring up a good point. These are already the kind of people who are risk takers.
Right.
They're willing to gamble, you know. The whole idea of the pioneers going to the West was that they wanted to buy cheap land So they're just like, and these were wealthy people. The, right. the people in the Donner Party were pretty wealthy, and they just wanted to, they wanted more, right?
It was, what is it? The Manifest Destiny,
Manifest
right?
Destiny. This, and this was pre-gold rush, so there wasn't even gold.
Going to develop the land and take it from the natives.
Yeah.
Because it was their Manifest Destiny. Oh, America.
They sound like super awesome people.
Yeah.
But... So in this group, and we should talk about the group, because it's not just the Donner family.
Mm-hmm.
There are, it's called the Donner Party, but there are a bunch of families, 87 people total. So I know there's the Reeds are a big one.
Yes.
The Breens.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Graves. You've got the, you know, others.
Those are the big names.
Keysburg.
The Breens,
I think there's a Keysburg in there.
Yes.
The Murphys, you know, so... It's a community, and they're all kind of like riding together.
I feel like, too, from the little bit I have read about to familiarize myself, Hastings was like, it seems like true, like American, like greed story, where he was like, I can create this new path, and he was trying to sell books.
Yes.
So it's like, I want to get people. He was staying at like the whatever the like fort was that people would show up before they went on the normal path to be like, no, you should go my way. Because in my mind, it's like he's this young kid who wants to strike it rich. So if he can convince people to go on his path and start selling his guidebook, it's just about like it's greed.
Yeah.
It's really what it is.
And I read, I forget where I read this, but, you know, he, well, I don't want to give something away. I'm sorry, I digress.
They all
need
each other.
Need to tell you what happens, okay? So the Donner party elects to go on Hastings, you know, shortcut. But they're a week late, so they can't travel with Hastings himself. So Hastings says, not a big deal, I'll leave you notes. I'm going to leave, I have to leave with this other group that I have to take, but you guys just follow my notes, follow my tracks.
Right.
And they're like, okay. At that point, I'm pretty sure that from what I read, Tamsin Donner, mm-hmm. she's the wife of George Donner, who we'll learn about later. But Tamsin is like, by all accounts, very gloomy, sad, and dispirited.
About going on Hastings.
At the thought of turning, you know, going to Hastings, whom she considered a selfish adventurer. That's a quote. So, but of course, you know, George Donner was like, shush.
Right.
Shush.
Different.
So had they listened to Tamsin Donner, this, we wouldn't even be here. We wouldn't be talking about this.
I mean, it's like you're a parent with a bunch of young kids. And someone says, we can go this new route, and someone's leaving us notes, or we can go the route that everybody else is like waving goodbye from. Like, we're going this route that we know people have made it on. And it kind of like comes down to that classic, like husband and wife fighting in the car about we should go this way or that way.
Yeah.
But 1846, is it? Like,
yeah.
You got to imagine that, unfortunately, the woman probably just got shut right down.
Yeah.
And this is what we're doing. I'm the man.
I mean, so... Like, next time you're in the car and your partner is driving and they refuse to use Waze, and then you're sitting in traffic for half an hour more than you needed to be.
Then eat their
arm. You can just... Or you could just say, honey, I am gloomy, sad, and dispirited.
Yes. And then just like slowly wither away in the passenger seat.
So, I mean, this shortcut ended up like adding an extra month to their entire journey. So let's just start off the bat. I feel really confident about this. Maybe we put up Hastings up on the board because this guy, this 27-year-old is really rubbing me the wrong way. And now I'll tell you guys, apparently Hastings died. Like, he was a real, what do you call it? Like, I want to get more. Not a trendsetter, but those people who were always coming up with new ideas. And I think he died, from what I read, he died on a ship to Brazil, trying to get people to go to Brazil. So he was always looking for the next best thing.
Right.
He was a little bit of a scam artist. What are you running from?
Right.
Full name?
His full name is Lanford Hastings, which I already hate him because Lanford, I'm sorry for you Lanfords out there. Yeah, Lanford.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Lanford Hastings. So I'm pretty, I'm feeling good about that. What do you think?
I feel he's definitely a candidate.
He's definitely someone that we should look into.
Yeah.
And feel free to throw in any candidates.
Okay. Okay.
Who you think. I'm not going to say, you know, Tamsin Donner, she's a victim. She's a victim.
She's a victim.
But let's talk about George Donner.
Okay.
And let's talk about James Reed.
Yeah. Reed too.
Reed. Screw Reed, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
From what I read about Reed?
A little bit about Reed. He seems like a real stubborn Irishman.
Well, ironically, he was one of the ideal leaders because he had been actually in the U.S. for a considerable amount of time longer than everyone else. Again, these people are new. They don't even know the land. And they're like, let's go on a trip.
Right.
And he had military experience. But what it says here, the autocratic attitude had rubbed many in the party the wrong way. And they saw him as an aristocratic, imperious, and ostentatious man.
He was an asshole.
Yeah, he was a jerk.
Like, I don't want to follow this asshole.
So they just didn't like him.
Yeah.
But he was super qualified.
Right.
And...
But was Reed, was he, he was advocating to go on Hastings' trail?
Yes, he was. And so was George
Donner.
He was actually much older. He was in his 60s. And he was kind of the first choice to be the leader because people just thought that he was much nicer. But all of them, I was reading somewhere that every single person in the Donner Party lacked the specific skills and experience to actually travel through the mountains. So
right. That's
no
a lot of
one
arrogance.
Was qualified.
There's a lot of arrogance to know that you to go on a trip like that and think we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, as someone who's
I would
planned,
never do that.
No, I would never, especially when other people are coming with
right,
you.
Right,
you know? I would never be like Harvard sailing team.
Someone will know how to chop
let's
down
Let's just all
wood
go to the airport. And
right.
I'm sure that the college, where is it? In Philadelphia? I'm sure we could get a plane ticket once right. we get to the airport, eight people.
Right.
So we've got James Reed, George Donner. I feel like we need to, I'm going to put them up, both up on the board.
Okay.
Because as leaders, they can't come without fault.
Well, and other than her name is Tamsin Donner?
Tamsin.
So the two people who are basically the best candidates to lead this group, this party, both agreed that we should take the shortcut.
Yes.
Tamsin was the older one. I was like, I feel a little worried about this. So it's not like even the two leaders had a debate, you know, where it's like one was going this and the other like, no, we both agree we should go this way. So it's like, okay.
Right.
You're complicit.
Yeah. So Tamsin is like, I just feel so bad for Tamsin because she was obviously the most clear-headed mm-hmm. of the group. But it was unfortunately, she was a woman. Mm. Here's where it gets kind of juicy, right? But they're going along the way and the two wagons get tangled, right?
Right.
And one of the people who I think is this guy, John Snyder, starts beating the ox of the other wagon. Mm. And Reed kind of intervenes and Snyder turns to whip him or to hit him. Mm-hmm. And Reed then plunges a knife into Snyder.
I did read about this and he killed him.
He killed him.
This is when they're on the trail.
This is on the actual Hastings Trail.
This is when they have actually left Hastings Trail. Or,
yes.
Like on the pass. Or
so tensions are high. People are getting killed. And what I read was that the Donners were actually a day ahead. And so the leader wasn't there. It's just the rest of them. And the United States laws aren't applicable in
past
the west
the continental divide. That is insane.
Yes. And so that what's there, they're them without their leader.
They just make their own justice.
Yeah, they're like, well, what should we do? He killed someone. I think it was Kiesberg. He says, I think we should hang Reed. And eventually they just agree that they're just going to let Reed go. And they're going to...
Banish him.
Yeah. And they're going to continue on. Reed has an entire family that's on this trail. And so they just give him a horse. Do they even give... I think they give him a horse.
No, I think what I read was they banish him and they like send him on his way. He's not allowed to travel. He has to leave his family behind and they didn't give him any supplies. But one of his daughters snuck off the next day and brought him a horse and a rifle and like some provisions.
I mean, again, another woman has the foresight right. to kind of save the day.
I mean, true Wild West. This is truly the Wild West.
You know, this is the part in the story where you're like, okay, well, Reed was a jerk. So maybe good does win sometimes, you
mm-hmm,
know?
Mm-hmm.
But when you know the outcome of the story, you realize he was so blessed.
Yes.
So blessed
the
to
best
have
thing
been.
That ever happened to him. Oh.
So let this be a lesson. Evil always wins.
Although, and I'm sure we'll get there, he does kind of like semi-redeem himself.
In the end, yeah.
Semi.
We've got to James and George.
Yes,
James got Reed and Donner up, and we've got Hastings, you know.
Can I just throw in one thing that,
yeah.
something that I read that I thought was like totally sketchy?
Yes.
I don't know if this deserves to be up on the board, but I read somewhere that there was a man who ran this fort that was like the last pit before you broke off or went like the regular Oregon Trail or this Hastings Cutoff. And he knew that it would be advantageous for him and his business if people were going through the Hastings Trail, because I guess it would bring more people to his little store. So there was a man who went before the Donner Party even got to this fort and started going on the Hastings Trail. There was a man who went ahead on horse and turned back because he was like, there's no way wagons are going to be able to get through here. So he turned back and left a warning for the Donner Party, which he knew was on the way and planning on taking it. Not to do it.
Oh, no.
And the guy crumpled up.
No!
There's theories that they, because they didn't want it to hurt their business, concealed that information so that they didn't get the message and went on the trail anyway.
So can you, let's put
What's
up
the guy's name?
Guy with, who crumpled up warning.
Yeah, well, he owns like
That's
whatever.
Dirty.
It's like a really crappy post, like an outpost
okay.
in the middle of the West. And he was the guy who...
He just wanted to make more money.
He was working with Hastings. He was like, yeah, you're going to bring more business? Great, I'll tell people to go on your path.
That's dirty.
That's like, you know, that's like fraudulent.
That's dirty. That's
corruption.
Dirty. So they continue. What really happens is that the party forges on. It's a terrible... They're having to like cut trees and wagon wheels are breaking. So it's taking them much longer than expected. But finally, they do get back on the regular trail. It just...
Right.
It's just
it
a month later.
It delayed them so much, right?
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing. is that they took a shortcut that delayed them a month. And it's like, it's not like they just got lost on this trail. The trail just messed up their whole timeline.
Yeah. So the trail didn't kill them. Mm-mm. They actually got stranded on the regular, mm-hmm. on the regular trail, which was the only thing that might have saved them. Because what happens is they're getting over, it's mid-November at this point, right?
Right.
And it's obviously getting cold. We all know what Thanksgiving feels like. We all know how, like, we put on our sweaters.
It's sweater weather. Break out the winter coat.
We think it's cute because right. we're drinking apple cider.
Right.
But it's, if you're a pioneer, it's not that cute.
Mm-mm.
And they get stuck in the mountains,
if,
right?
If you're a pioneer, it's not that cute.
No, mid-November is not cute.
Right.
So they're up in the mountains and it starts to snow and they're like, oh shit, like this is not good. So they apparently there were cabins. Did
yes,
you read this? So
there are some cabins
from before.
From random other settlers.
Yes.
Or, yeah.
And so they're like, well, let's take shelter in these cabins, you know, wait out the snow because
we can't move.
I don't think they realized how bad their situation was at the moment. So, you know, I think it was one of the Reeds or the Breens, whatever, they take the major cabin, and next to it, like a few people like build some cabins that are adjacent to it. I mean, mm-hmm. there's 87 people. Mm-hmm. One cabin isn't going to do for everyone.
Right.
And they're like different families and no one's getting along and everyone's pissed at each other. And then the Donners who are, oh, this was the other thing. The Donners are a day behind because their wagon wheel broke.
Yes.
And George was fixing the wagon wheel. He gets his hand sliced.
Yes.
And he's like, it's fine. It's just a little scratch. But, you know.
You guys go ahead.
Exactly. You guys go ahead. We'll be fine. They start building a cabin that's like 6 miles away. So all of a sudden their quote unquote leader is 6 miles from where everyone else is. I mean, I run the reservoir and mm-hmm. I know that one loop is 2.2 miles. So it's like running the reservoir. Three
running,
times.
Like straight up a mountain, too.
Up a mountain. Like,
not flat land.
So it's not like a practical living situation. So everyone's cold. They're starting to eat their ox. They're starting to eat their dogs.
Which have, like, by this point, have either died or some have been shot by Indians who, like, were,
right.
like, trolling these settlers at the time.
Well, that was the other thing. The natives, you know, the Native Americans would come and steal their ox mm-hmm. and while they were sleeping. So they'd wake up and they'd be like, oh, where's my horse?
Are you playing Native Americans?
Oh, God, no. I mean, they can't be blamed for anything. No, absolutely not.
No, we can't blame the Native Americans. But
they were taking what was right. No. They were just by, they just were like, who are these passerby?
Why are you
they didn't
here?
Ask them to come. Yeah, why are you
well,
here?
Apparently they were also doing it in retaliation because the pioneers would just shoot at the Native Americans
sure.
for no reason.
Sure. I'm sure that's true.
So they were just trolling, honestly. They're trolling and as they should.
Right.
As they should. I mean, let's talk cannibalism, right?
Right. Before we get to that.
Yeah.
I want to say one thing that I found very interesting in my reading was that they were, when they got like pretty desperate, they were eating the like hide. Did you read this?
Yes.
They were like boiling the hide that they were using to like warm themselves and in their shoes into like a gluey texture.
Yes.
Like imagine just being like so hungry that you're like eating leather straps.
And they started eating clothes. They would rip off like parts of pants so that
I mean that's
it
hunger.
Would just fill them
that
up.
That is hunger.
Yeah. I mean clearly they were very so you know life is miserable. Like the cabins are cramped. They're filthy, and you know you can't go out for days. And people are eating shoes. People are eating, like, boiling ox bones.
Yes. And the cabins are, like, it was, like, something like 8 feet of snow, right? Like, buried in snow.
Oh, yeah.
Like, holes in the snow that you would get into your cabin.
So they're not going anywhere.
Right.
And food is out. So after a month, they decide that they need to send out a search party on foot. So this is when the cannibalism really starts. This is where it gets really fun and exciting. So they set 15. Okay, the 15 people who are the healthiest, the strongest at the moment. It's 10 guys and 5 women. Mm-hmm. And they set out to... They make shoes for them because they have to snowshoe their way out.
Right.
And as they're walking out... It's taking them a long time, much longer than they thought it would, and they're starting to starve, and they're on the verge of dying, so...
They start eating their shoes, don't they?
Yes, they start eating the shoes that they need to walk in the snow. So, I mean, I can't even put myself in this position.
Imagine eating your Converse because you're starving.
So they start to considering like drawing lots for human sacrifice or having two of the men square off this in a duel.
Yes, this is the most exciting part about this for me because to me, like one thing I'm a huge fan of is just like true, like the human condition.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We are so, and I've said this for years, there's just like a fine line between like what is like our civil normal life and absolute chaos. And we have set ourselves up in a very comfortable way. But back when there's not that many niceties to get you through, it's like it's every man for himself and like kill or be killed. And imagine like the psychology of being like, we've been starving. We're on a mountain. We don't know where we're going or if we're going to survive. So I will eat you. Like, let's duel it out.
Yeah.
Like, that's not, we are, I think it would take so much in a modern time to get to that point. Whereas I could see it, you getting there a little quicker back then. It's like, what else are you living for?
Moving. Think about like, I don't know. It's not, you're not doing this with your best friend, right? You're not, they're not on this journey with their best friends, but they're in this journey with acquaintances and people they've gotten to know over months. So it's like, I don't know, like your new group of friends at work. You just started a new job and you've got this new group of friends and you've been going to happy hour for a few months and you're getting to know each other and all of a sudden it's dire and you're all in a circle being like, okay, who's going to fight so that one person dies and we can eat them?
If you had any beef with one person, that person is probably right at the top of the list.
Exactly.
It's like, why, you know, everybody else is cool.
What's happening at the same time is that there's two, for some reason, I don't understand why, and maybe someone out there knows why, but there are two Native Americans who are with them at the time. I think their names are Lewis and Salvador. Lewis and Salvador. I don't know if they were traveling with them or why, but they're part of the group. And at that time, what's unspoken in a lot of the Wikipedia stuff and what I read in some of the books is that just the way that people, their feelings toward the Native Americans was just that they were lesser people.
Sure.
Right? And that's why they would take their land no problem. And so the two Native American, Lewis and Salvador, they start getting scared that they're going to be the first ones eaten because... I mean,
I remember,
all bets are off.
Someone, and I read about this, someone mentioned it and someone gave them a warning.
Oh.
And said, you guys better get out of here because you're going to be eaten.
Probably one
of the women was like, get out of here. You're going to be eaten.
So they do. They leave.
They leave.
They bounce. And eventually some people die. And so they just start eating the people who have died. So they don't end up not having to do a duel, but they die. They die and they eat them. And, you know, it gives them the energy they need in order to almost finish the trip. But then they're starving again and they don't know what to do. And they run into the two guys. They run into Lewis and Salvador, who had said, I don't want to eat other people, so I'm going to leave. And B, you're probably going to eat me, so I'm going to leave.
Right.
So they run into the two guys towards the end of the trek, and they're starving and, you know, almost near death. And so at this point, there's 5 girls and 2 guys left. So there's only 7 left. The 5 girls are still kicking from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the guys goes up without telling the rest of the group, goes up to the two Native Americans and shoots them in the head.
This is so right for like a horror movie adaptation or something. I mean, this
I'm
is like real.
It hasn't been.
God. It's just like, I mean, like this is like a Quentin Tarantino film or something, you know, something really, ooh.
And so. Just
ruthless.
They eat them. They eat those two guys. And that's what helps them make this journey. And I'm pretty sure it took like over a month for them to get to some ranch or wherever they were going. So, look, this is a half-baked idea of mine.
Okay.
But I think that we should put just cannibalism up on the board. Or
cannibalism is to blame for the Donner Party?
Or just anyone who... did cannibalism or was involved with cannibalism.
Do they know specifically who the first person was to suggest it?
Yes, I remember. I can't remember. It was one of the guys.
It was
on
a guy.
This,
I want to say it was
the snowshoe party. I can't remember his name, but he was the first one to suggest it because the first conversation was, like you said, it was either a duel or one of us should die to save the others and be eaten.
Right, right.
I can't, it's some guy.
I think his name was Foster.
Okay.
I mean, we could say Foster, the first guy to resort to cannibalism.
Yeah.
First sicko. Oh, by the way, for you history buffs out there, they were called, this group was called the The Forlorn Hope, which is so sad.
They didn't call themselves that, right?
No,
that's what history calls them. We're the Forlorn Hope.
We're the seven Forlorn Hopes.
That's our posse.
That's a great name for a sketch comedy group.
Right. Lots of laughs.
So they get to the camp and they're like, okay, we need rescuers, clearly. They send a rescue.
Oh, didn't they? This is a little tidbit, but I read that when the people who survived this showed up at the camp, they were so like ragged and malnourished that people ran from them at first.
Oh yeah, they were
because
scared.
They looked just like disgusting, like probably like zombies, like wandering out of the mountains, like. And people ran from them, and then they, of course, helped them.
Yeah. So there's rescue missions, like a bunch of them. There's four total, but the, you know, first one is like shocked. Oh my God, these people are dying. They take like 22 people with them and they leave the weaker ones back. And that's when the cannibalism really gets intense back at the camp. So no one died during the interim between the first relief party and the second relief party, but they started eating the people who had already died to the point where like it's documented that one of the rescuers showed up unannounced. Oh, so they weren't expecting the second rescue mission. They showed up unannounced to the camp and a rescuer sees one of the campers, the pioneers, holding a human leg. He was holding a human leg in his hand. And the rescuer just kind of like like makes himself known. And the guy just throws
it down on
the floor.
Yes. He threw it, yes, into, I think they said, a hole that was the entrance to his family's cabin. So he just like threw it into his family. Who were probably like,
But I just like that image of someone like, bippity, like walking with a leg and then getting caught. And just like, I didn't do it.
Right.
I didn't touch it. That wasn't me.
What was that?
What's that?
That's I mean, showing up as a rescuer, what's your mindset? You're like, I'm safe here? Or like, let's get the F out of here. These people got crazy.
I mean, but there were rules too. So they were like, some people wouldn't eat their own family.
Yes, they made sure to preserve the
at
separate
least in
body
the beginning.
Parts.
Yeah.
So that you weren't eating the dead from your own family. That's very civilized when you're eating bodies.
So there are, you know, there are rules.
Mm-hmm.
So they discover that there's, you know, a bunch of bodies in a tent. And, George Donner at this point, he's got, like, his whole arm has been infected from that little cut.
Right,
that
he's got,
he
like,
had.
Crazy gangrene, right?
Yeah, I think it's, like, all the way up to his shoulder. And so finally, you know, they get everyone out, and the last person to be rescued, of course, George Donner dies. Mm-hmm. Tamsin stays back with George until the very end, even though she's healthy. But she doesn't want him to die alone. And then this is where it gets crazy. So there's this other guy, Kiesberg, right? He's the guy who wanted to hang Reed back when he got banished. And Kiesberg's like kind of gone crazy. And he was already kind of a bad guy. He had a reputation for hitting his wife, I think. Mm. So he's already a shitty guy. And he's going crazy. And apparently, when he was found with a bunch of body parts littered around his cabin. Like, he went mad. So the three people left at camp are George, Tamsin, and Kiesberg. George dies.
Gangrene.
Infection. He's dead.
Dead.
Tamsin is apparently like, I got to get to my kids. And she's very healthy. And she starts to set out, but then dies. So what nobody knows is, according to Kiesberg, she like fell in the lake and got cold and died, you know, died from freezing. Or Kiesberg killed her. And apparently he boasted or he bragged about eating Tamsin later on.
Wow. Real villain.
He never said he killed her. But he
did consume.
He bragged about consuming her.
Wow.
I mean, this guy, we got to put Kiesberg up. I don't know if it was his fault, but there's just some dirtiness that happened with this guy.
Kiesberg.
K-E-S-E-B-E-R-G. Kiesberg. I think that's how you say it.
Sounds right.
Something
to note, too, here is that this is where I was saying earlier, I feel like Reed semi-redeemed himself, even though he killed a man and was like a real asshole and was banished. He was the one who was petitioning people back in California to send a search party. Selfishly, I think, because he wanted to, like, recover his family.
Yeah.
But he was a big part of, we got to go save these people and, like, spreading the word. So it's kind of redeeming in a way.
I mean, he's a controversial figure, that Reed. And every episode I kind of like to talk about a possible hero. Mm. There's this guy, his name is John Stark, for our Game of Thrones fans out there.
Really?
His name was really John Stark. And he was one of the rescuers who came, I think it was the third mission. And there were a bunch of kids at that point who couldn't walk themselves. And so he led 9 kids or a group of 9, sometimes like putting 3 kids on his body, carrying them at once. And that's how he got 9 people out. So there are a few heroes out there. Well, I mean, that's not our business to claim heroes. That's not what we do here. But, you know, shout out to John Stark.
Good man.
So we've got, let me just read for everyone who we've got up on the list. We've got Lanford Hastings, James Reed, George Donner, the Crumple Note Man, the first sicko zombie who ate a human flesh, and Kiesberg, the bad guy who ate Tamsin, and a bunch of other people. And tell me what you think. I just want to throw up on the board.
You want to throw up?
I just want to throw up.
I'd like to throw up too.
I want to throw on the board. Just westward expansion and American greed.
I absolutely was going to say, I think we need to throw greed or like capitalism or something up there.
I mean, these people
theoretical, yes.
They wanted a land. And so I feel like that deserves a little bit of blame.
Well, and I think what's interesting about that is it weaves its way. It's not just that these settlers wanted more. It's that there were things that were happening along the trail, like Hastings and his own greed redirecting them so that he could make a buck.
Right.
Like, it's kind of like, it's definitely like rooted in a lot of what's happening.
It's woven in.
And there were people who, once they were on the trail, they were bartering, saying like, I will pay you double for that ox if you'll give me some food, because we're a poor family. They'd run out of food. So there's like, you know, sure. And then people claiming like, you have to pay me now because now we're really starving. So there's like,
It's money clouding a lot of people's vision. money. It's also itchy feet. We could blame itchy feet. So sure. It's like, why did they have to go west? They were probably all fine. They had a nice house. They they all had nice houses.
Yes. There were streets.
So why do they need bigger land and bigger houses? So itchy feet. Let's put itchy feet up on the board.
Itchy feet.
Okay. Are there any other people or things that you want to put up there?
No. Not that I can think of.
I think that this is a good...
We know what we could do is we could put the media on there. They're easy to blame for a lot of things. Because the media was writing big stories about the expansion west.
There you go.
And people were reading about this in the paper and they were glorifying. And even after this happened, there are accounts that like certain newspapers are going into like crazy graphic detail, like really sensationalized detail about how they ate each other and murdered each other. So just like a good old fashioned media hype.
That's juicy. Pre-Inquirer. Right. That's good stuff.
Right.
Okay. So maybe we start crossing people off and we'll eventually come up with who is to blame, right?
Okay.
I say we keep Hastings up there. Just off the bat, tell me, just what's your gut?
Oh,
who do you like for it?
Oh, you mean out of all of them?
Yeah. I mean, I wanna blame Crumple Man. I do wanna blame Crumple Man.
But I feel like Crumple Man is just like an accomplice to like the main villain.
You right.
know what I mean? Like Crumple Man, he wouldn't have had been a part of this story if there hadn't been somebody like that was the catalyst for even starting this journey in the first
place. Okay, so we'll cross Crumple Man off.
But he's not a good man.
No, he's a bad man. James Reed and George Donner, I mean, they're the ones who led them.
Mm-hmm.
Those were big faux pas.
Yes, I do. I think there's a lot of blame to be placed on their arrogance or impatience, whatever you want to call it. This like, well, we should try and save some time, or their inability to listen to their wives or other people with reason, being like, maybe we should go the route that we know works. So I think there's a lot of blame, but I don't know. Like they were going west anyway, right?
Right.
If they had not heard about this shortcut, they would have just gone the regular way.
Yeah.
So it could have been different. Maybe they still would have left late and something else would have happened and then they would have still eaten each other in the mountains. But in theory, if they had just gone the regular way, they would have gotten there in time.
Although I will say this, the tardiness really bothers me.
Sure.
The fact that they were so late and ill-prepared, it really bothers me. So I'm going to keep them up there along with Hastings because he was a real dirtbag.
Yeah, I think Hastings is a big guy.
I think we can cross off the first sicko zombie because he was just hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Kiesberg kind of went mad, so we can cross him off. He's a bit of a victim.
Right, circumstantial.
The media, I get it, and I like. The media, I like.
But the media, yeah.
You know, it's
you have
a bit
to make your own decisions in life.
Yeah.
Okay, you can't just believe everything the media tells
you. Yes, exactly. And itchy feet. Well, you know, that's just something that happens.
It happens.
We all have it. We all get itchy feet, so we'll cross that out. But Westward Expansion and Greed, I'm going to keep up there. Okay, we can't just give percentages, right? I feel
is the goal to pick like one
thing?
Yeah,
we have to. We have to get to the bottom.
Who's going to jail?
Yeah.
In heaven or hell, wherever they are.
Okay, you go first, Clayton. Pick one.
This is like my...
Your answer, final answer.
Okay, I'll say right now, just quick debate. It's definitely between Hastings and Westward Expansion / American Greed. I think that's really like... Because I feel like the Donner Party would not have ended up where they were if it wasn't for a person like Hastings, who was trying to make a quick buck off innocent people and clearly misleading people because he hadn't gone on the journey himself.
Right.
Nor and he or he'd done half of the trail without wagons. Yeah, so that to me is like he's your classic bad guy.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say Hastings, who was heavily influenced by his own American thirst for greed and money. So, but Hastings is my guy.
You know what? I gotta agree with you. He's just a classic bad guy.
Yeah.
And a westward expansion is part of it. But Hastings also, like, just himself. I bet you without westward expansion, he still would have done something as dirty as that. Yeah, he would have gotten
in there somehow.
Okay, well, that settles it. Lanford Hastings circa westward expansion is going to the alarmist jail. See ya, Hastings. No water for you.
Only raw legs.
Clayton, thank you so much for helping me, you know, get to the bottom of who's to blame for the Donner Party. You know, you, out of anyone I would trust to go out west with.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for trusting me on this very sensitive, timely subject.
Yes. Vote for who you think is to blame at thealarmistpodcast.com. And don't be alarmed if it takes you to Facebook. They're linked. Next week, we've got another American tragedy, the Beatles breakup. So if you're thinking Yoko, I think you better listen.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.